Thank you. Glenn, good evening. Let's try that again. Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, bueno. Thank you for that song. That song is dear to my heart. I remember when I first sang it, was in the little green church up on the hill north of Bemidji, Minnesota, with the congregation up there. And it was a long time ago. I was 20 years old, or just 20, yeah, 20. And they sang that song, and it just struck my heart. Out in the cold, struggling. And I developed a prayer that I've prayed ever since. God bless those who are struggling in sin. And there are times in my life that included me. I'm not perfect, I'm mortal as you. But I was called to the ministry that year. First person, this dates me, first person I baptized was Harvey. I was 20 and I think he was 19, I'm not sure. I hope and pray that Christ's Spirit will be with us tonight so that our hearts will be touched and our lives inspired. You have a handout. I'd like it read now. Darren, please.
The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller. Through reverence for life, I raise my existence to its highest value and offer it to the world. Albert Schweitzer.
Okay, I'm going to speak of Helen Keller at first. She could not see, hear, and therefore talk when she was born. When I was studying special ed to be a teacher, I learned how terrible a disability the lack of hearing is. It's way worse than vision, the lack of vision, because if you can't hear, you can't talk. If you can't talk, you don't know words. And we think with words. Such a person is stranded inside of her brain. But Anne Sullivan, the teacher, we can't forget her, her teacher. She was the last teacher in a school started by Alexander Graham Bell that could teach blind people to read. And Anne Sullivan was hired and to teach Helen Keller. And Anne Sullivan gave her whole heart, her creativity, her very life to facilitate what Helen Keller could be. That's how it is. The most accomplished, the most gifted, the most compassionate needs those who may help them to really develop their talent and ability. Albert Schweitzer, you already read it. Albert Schweitzer, you can read it in your lap. He was an accomplished musician, a famous surgeon, at the peak of his career when he decided to offer himself for the rest of his life in a leprosy colony in Africa, studying the disease and helping the people. When we start our lives out, our adult lives, in our youth, we wonder what we will be. A farmer, a teacher, a businessman, housewife, computer programmer. But we all have our separate callings as members in Christ. I want to talk tonight about those callings. We have a calling. We have a talent. And if we help one another, those talents, those callings can be developed. Callings for Him, with the tasks, burdens, and joys that accompany them. Because no achievement is done easily. There are many callings. You all have many callings. A housewife and or husband with a family. I'm thinking of a man and wife in Honduras, Luis and his wife. They have 14 children. They live in the mountains. He has no noticeable source of income. Each day, he must grind corn, bring beans. His wife grinds the corn. He gets it, he raises it. His wife must grind corn, make tortillas, take care of the children, clothe them, and she makes clothing. And she lives in a house with mud walls, adobe, and a dirt floor. And he goes out, small animals. Daily, he must find food. And you know, yearly, another child of his, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, asks for baptism. Okay, some people have a calling of a good income. They have tithes, and they have a choice to make tithes and offerings. So important, basic to what the church is able to do. It's a great calling. Some have a calling to do mission trips in dangerous away, faraway places. Try Ethiopia. You can't find a more dangerous place right now. Some have a calling to counsel and teach in the local church, right here where you are. I was here one time because of my medical needs when you had a summer Bible school. And I came, watched. It was marvelous. I remember one young woman, not so young, teaching the children. And they looked at her with respect and honor. And I know that the parents depend on her in this local. And she brings to their children each year the words of God. I remember seeing people doing crafts and other classes. It was marvelous. I don't want to compare our work, Nan and I now, with in our home in Honduras to the sacrifices of Ann Sullivan or Albert Schweitzer, because each person has a calling of their own. We are all part of the collage of service by His peoples. I also know what it says in Romans 12, 1 through 5. Could you read it, Darren? Glenn, could you get this? Oh, wait a minute. Just wait till I tell you, okay.
Romans 12, 1 through 5. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Sometimes one sees or finds their calling right away. And sometimes it grows until you realize it. Our home, since Nan and I were married, has always been filled with young people and adults for one reason or another. So in Honduras, it became a mission house of refuge. My pension and help from others has made that possible. Okay, now for some pictures. And some pictures of the great blessings God has filled our lives with. This is only really this present group of young people in our house. And you have it there. I don't know how to use this marker, but oh, there we go. That's Digdania. You've heard me talk of her. That's her daughter, Michelle. This is Tanya, myself, Nana. This is Gabriel, Mybees, and Jacob. Oh no, I need to go the other direction. I don't know your directions here. Okay, that was a picture of our house. Okay, here is a picture of Gabriel. Gabriel came to be our boy when his mother abandoned him on the doorstep of our mission house, student house in Don Lee. At that time, years ago, he's 14 years old, we had a student house in Don Lee because we had been supporting and helping the public school in Zamorano, which only goes through sixth grade. And some students were accomplished, and we thought we'd start a student house in Don Lee, a town of 100,000, 120,000, where there are a number of private schools and high schools, so they could go on. Well, we had the student house, and Tommy was the director or the guide of it, and Santos, his wife, newly married couple, actually. They were the house mothers for that student house. On the step, wrapped in a blanket. One day old was Gabriel. Here's Nana. I don't have to introduce my wife, do I? Here's Jacob. Jacob came to be our boy when his mother couldn't take care of him. She abandoned him to us. I'll tell about her story later a little bit. He was 1 month old when we got him. Turn to Moroni, chapter 7. Verse 51.
Moroni 7:51. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's what it takes. And you'll have testimonies every day. Oh, I've got one. My back and hips were horrible since about 2 weeks ago. And we have a disease down there carried by mosquitoes. Don't everybody think you can't go to Honduras now. But anyway, there's a mosquito-borne infection that cripples you. The things that are painful that are a little painful turn terrible painful 5-10 times. Nana is suffering this, or has been, for a while now. And lo and behold, when I was up in northern Minnesota, I couldn't do anything. And you saw me Sunday when I came here, and I was administered to. I can tie my shoes. I can stand up straight. I could run up this aisle. Believeth all things. We have a God. We have a Savior that's real, and I know it. Now let's read Philippians. No, I want to go on with these pictures. Here we go. This is Digdania. She was born with cerebral palsy and some syndrome. We're not sure what it's called. She could not walk or talk. Here she is in our house. This picture is as she was when we got her, always on the floor, making noises like an animal. This is Digdania today. And she walks with a walker. Her hips are bent forward, so her legs cross in front of each other like that. But she can walk. And she can talk Spanish and understands every word in English. Here she is. That's her daughter. When she came to our house, she was pregnant. She could only crawl on the floor and make noises, but something. She was pregnant, and Michelle was born to her in our home. This is Tanya. Tanya came to us 6 years old. Her mother was very ill, fluid filling her lungs. Her heart had fluid around it. She did not expect to live. She asked us to take her children when she died. She was a single mom living in her father and mother's house with five children. I said to Nana, no, we can't take five children all at one time, someday in the future, and they don't know anything about how we run our house, the discipline, the responsibility. That's a different society than here. There's a fiesta every Saturday night, and it goes all night with beer and corruption, and they clean the streets of paper and people laying in a ditch in the morning. Our family don't go to the fiesta. Our family goes to church every time there's a service. Our family respects one another and never talks back. Well, I said, we'll take two. And they can learn about our family and how to live with us. And then, if that day comes, we'll help you. We took my bees. Oh, no, that's not my bees. I don't know, we haven't got my bees yet. We took my bees and an older sister. And the older sister, I was up here for some reason when Nana called me. And she said, I can't have that girl. She was 13, an older sister, not Tanya. And she's talking back to me. And I overheard her telling the boys just say yes, agree with her, and then do what you want later. So I said, that's okay, honey. And she didn't live with us. Her sister, My Beast, which I don't have right now here, I've reserved her picture for a special reason, you'll see. But My Beast was 9 years old, and we accepted her, and she stayed, and she respected us always, always obedient to every demand. Even when she had a boyfriend, she only saw her boyfriend at our house, in the daylight, never off in the garden. And though he had a motorcycle, she never went with him on a motorcycle because we wouldn't allow it. And he later respected us too. No, always he did. Anyway, this is Tanya. Tanya came to us at 6 years old. And she is my helper. Every morning when I get up at 5:30, this floor right here, oh, I'll get it yet, has already been swept. And she's out back, sweeping the sidewalk and down the steps. Her sister mops it after her when she goes to school. Our floor is swept so good you can eat off of it and mopped every morning. Here's Tanya holding court. That's her boyfriend. That's her boyfriend right there. A young man, member of the church. Very nice young man. And of course, here's Jacob, Tanya's brother. And they are brother and sister, no question. Here's Michelle helping Nana. Now, I told you Michelle's mother came to us pregnant. I could tell you more, but no need to. She's a lovely child. Bilingual, very intelligent, very capable. And she loves to serve the Lord. This is another picture of Michelle with John Michael's wife, by the way. Here's a picture, just hanging out or whatever. No, actually, what's happening here is Nana is going to vaccinate that little puppy. And this is My Beast. I told you about My Beast. That's My Beast. And that's not her boyfriend, fiance. It's somebody else. But this is two other people. There's Michelle. And Nana's preparing to vaccinate the puppy. Oh, I should back up here. This is a pila. We don't have running water, but yes, we have running water. One faucet into the pila. The pila is a cement tank. And then over here is a scrub board where you wash your clothes, dishes, and sometimes babies. And the tank of water is used with a bucket to go in here and flush the toilet. And inside there also is the shower behind this wall, all in the same room. We have 8 getting ready to go to school at 7 in the morning, and one stool and one shower, and they're in the same room. So everyone has to respect one another's needs. That's My Beast doing Nana's hair. Dear girl. She has always respected us. I'm a little heartbroken here because I'll announce something in the future. Okay, here is our bedroom. And you'll see, Nana has just come home from school. She's resting. Gabriel's talking to her about something important to his mind. And people are out here. And there's something on the computer they're looking at. This is Dulce. Dulce lived in a house for a time. She's an adult of about 26 or 27. You don't tell a woman's age, but she's been through our school, and she has a job teaching school at a private Christian school in Don Lee, and gets a good salary, has her own apartment, her own computer and things, and helps support her paternal household to her family. This is Deanna poor picture, we'll get a better one. She is a student teacher helping Nana, volunteering. And that's Jorley. Okay. Here's John Michael and his wife. I thought that'd be a nice picture for you all to see. We're praying that John Michael will be baptized soon. He talked about that with me when I was up there last week. This is John Michael's three children. The oldest is in the middle. Oh, yeah, there. Giselle, Haley, and Elizabeth. Oh, yeah. Giselle wanted a special picture. Every young lady wants to shine. And that's in front of John Michael's house that he's built. He welded the pieces above and put the zinc on. This is Deanna. I promised you a better picture. She's a student helper for Nana and working on her 12th year. She'll be a graduate. She went to public school through sixth grade, then started at our school at first grade, and now is bilingual and every level and a good helper to Nana. She's 21 years old. This is Dulce, another picture. This is Lysenia. Lysenia, she grew up partly in Ronnie's home and then in our home. She was 13 when she came to us. She's now 24, and she's married to my grandson, Cameron. And she's still studying. She wants one day to be a teacher. This is my beast. I told you I'd give you a better picture of her. That's her fiance, Fernando. He's a member of the church for at least 5 years. They've been boyfriend, girlfriend for probably 7 years. Okay. Oh, this is Giselle, John Michael's, and Tommy's littlest child. Let's see. They're all J's. Jacqueline and...
Jennifer.
Huh? Jennifer. Yeah. Thank you. And this is just a baby. Now let us read Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8.
Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things.
I want us right at this moment to sing 118 in the book, in your hymnals. Can somebody with good tone, pitch, start us, please?
Beautiful, look for the true. Sunshine and shadow all around you. Looking at evil, you grope in the night. Looking at Jesus, you walk in the light. Look for the beautiful, honor the right. Think of the beautiful, think of the true.
over you. By purity purging by prayer. Deceitful talk of the true, tongues full of poison are whispering to you. Answer them not with a tale-bearing word, only in blessing the be heard. Talk of the beautiful, talk of thy Lord. Live for the beautiful, live for the true. Lifting the fallen as Christ lived. Did you the jewels embedded in sin? Thus his blood washes clean. Live for the beautiful, keep love within. This baby, I'm not sure whose baby at the moment, but it's surely beautiful. The potential of life, the knowledge of good and evil, one day will be in its head. It needs nurture, it needs love, it needs kindness. Tonight I must advise us to always give to another the benefit of the doubt. Look with me now as I'll try and get a picture of Jacob. There he is. Jacob with Haley. He's 15. Jacob knows he is loved. He is thinking toward the future. I've seen this look on him before. He's looking to the future with hope. The what, the when, who, how. Like any normal teen. Let's consider now his mom, Isabel. Let's consider her for a moment. When we came to Zamorano, she was thin and frail, a single mom, no husband, no job. Her house would fit easily in that corner where the instruments are. And the walls are about that thick with mud daubed up. The roof was made out of a tin sign and some tar paper. I don't want to go into her life and how she may have bore children or that. I want to think of the beautiful. But I looked and I saw she was thin and frail. Her house had only one rollaway bed and one board along the wall held up and two folding chairs. Her yard was no bigger than this area right here. It was smaller now. We had a little store at that time. She had four children at that time. We had a little store there, and we began giving her, I wish you had a picture of her now, but you'll see, I began giving her provisions, we call it, a package that would should for 1 week with some matches, some toilet paper, basic sanitary items, and some spaghetti, several packages, maybe two cans of sardines, and some other food things. And I would have my granary, because I have farming land, I would give a little bit of corn, bag of shelled corn, and some beans. We call that provisions. It would be worth about $5 to $10. She asked for a church service once, way in the beginning, in her home. She said, "Bless my house with the word of God." Back in the early days, that was very common. "Bless my house with the word of God and have a service." So we did. I remember a birthday, too, for her oldest daughter. You know, we're members of Church Christ. We know good and evil, right and wrong. Her life was not right. So what to do? What are we called to do? To judge or to love and help? Going on, our bedroom, back then we had a private one before we got some other people. At that time we had a couple of adults in need and one teenager who'd been beaten by her dad. And we had a young woman who was beat up really bad by the man she was living with, and she was pregnant. She sent her children, three of them, out to get away, and she was left laying there. She came to our place for help from a neighboring town. She lived with us for about 4 years and had a child that she was pregnant with at that time. So our home became more busy, and we no longer had the bedroom that was our room. But during the time we had the bedroom, it was Nana's council room, and women would be in there talking about a problem, and Nana would be counseling them. Well, Isabel was in there once. I came to the door, and Nana says, "Wait a minute, we're busy." And so afterwards, Isabel left looking down and kind of glum and went down the hill. And Nana told me what had transpired. She was asking us if we would perform an operation for her so she wouldn't have any more children. Well, we didn't. Nana told her, "No, we can't do that. You're young. Some good man might really want to put his love for you in the right place and ask you to be married. That might be in your future." Now, that kind of strains our thinking here from our backgrounds. But we prayed for her. We had hope for her. A little later, she came and said, "Well, now you guys got to have this baby, because you didn't help me." She wanted to give up the child she was carrying. We made no promise. The day of delivery came, and I had a pickup then that was donated, and a blue Chevy pickup, and it was sitting a little ways from our pulperia, and Ronnie was in there, and one of the missionaries, and they were going out to do something and planning where they were going to work. And somebody come running to me and said, Isabel's having a baby. She needs to get to the hospital. She has trouble every time. She needs a..." So I knocked on the window and told them, "Isabel needs to go to hospital." Good thing I don't know who. Somebody said, I was a little bit nonplussed, but I said, "Okay, come on, Isabel, come on, I'll help you in the truck." I opened the end gate and she got in. I called for somebody to bring a pillow and I tried to make her comfortable. On Whittlewell, and I jumped in. I don't remember if I went with her that day or not. That's a long time ago, and I'm getting old. But 2 days later, I went in with my van, and she was sitting in a chair in the hospital and had the baby in her arms, and the bed was already remade with new sheets, new linen. So I brought her home, and I added milk to the provisions and a little more corn. Some people in the U.S., Nana contacted, wanted to adopt him. They went down to check it out. Members of the Church of Christ, by the way, and they would have liked to have a child, but they went to see the officials in Tegu, and it's very difficult to adopt in Honduras. It didn't work out. One day, I went every day to see him. One day, he was sick. I don't remember if Nana had left yet then, or she left shortly after to go up to the States to work, to get money for our work. She worked at Gedney and Target, Gedney in the day and Target at night, to get money, and came back 5 months later. Anyway, he was sick, and he wasn't there. Where is he? He was at some other lady's house, an old lady. And I was worried about folklore and superstitions and what might be done. I went into her house, and there he was. Yep, sure enough, a fever. Blankets over him, and even a coat on top of the blankets. He was red and hot. I picked him up. He whimpered a little. And I said, okay, God. Took him home. That's Jacob. He's 15 now. Took him home. He slept with me in my bed. I changed his diapers. I gave him his bottle. Got him up in the morning, put a pan on the bed and put warm water in it. Bathed him, put him out in a blanket in the commons area and put him on his stomach, and he kicked and screamed squealed. And I picked him up and bounced him and twirled him under my legs. And I studied for special ed, moving and twisting and turning for babies helps neurological development. So I gave him plenty of it. And he's brilliant, by the way. Anyway, he grew up with us and we loved him. Nana came back. And we gave Isabel a class in cosmetology. She got a job in town. And lo and behold, a good man, an honest man, asks her to marry him. I performed a ceremony in our church. He was a heavy equipment operator in a construction site in Tegu. And she moved to Tegu. I don't know if they live in an apartment or in a little house, but then there was an industrial accident. I don't know if a caterpillar slipped. They were cleaning the banks of the river after the hurricane. I don't know what happened. He was killed. Not 4 or 5 months after she was married, she was back in the same situation. His family didn't even invite her to the funeral. She came to church once in all that time. Can I say she doesn't want God in her life or don't want spiritual growth? No. All I can do is pray for her. But one thing for sure I can say, Jacob Matthew Gill has life in the shadow of God's word and those who love him. The crippled, the abused, the unloved, the unwanted, all yearning to be needed, to be loved, a part of a family. Yes, a family. Brothers and sisters. Jacob and Tanya. Boy, are they ever brother and sister. Not by blood, but by spirit and heart and soul. They compete in school. They play in the house. They holler and chase one another around. I got to tell you about one. Might get long here. I got to tell you about one field day. Tommy and Santos. Tommy, the head of the school, and Santos, his wife, they planned for a field day, the school children, and it was done down at the church. And they had 100-yard dash, high jump, long jump, sack race, where they're jumping along in a sack, and calisthenics. Santos is their phy-ed teacher, so they are all out there in competition. Oh, and Tommy had prizes for each of these things. And Santos was out there running the calisthenics. And I had been gone to get, I was gone to get some refreshments for after the calisthenics. And I come back and they were doing jumping jacks, all in a circle like that. And about three had already caved when I came. And they were going at it, five more, six more, about 30 in a circle. Finally, it was Jacob and Tanya. I'll show you a picture of Tanya one more time here. Hope I can. There, no. No. There, Tanya. Jacob and Tanya. Five minutes longer than the rest. Tanya was going to let Jacob win. No way. And Jacob wasn't going to let Tanya, a girl, beat him. No way. They kept going, kept going, kept going. There they are. Kept going and going. And finally, Tanya got a cramp in her side and she fell down and she said, "Okay, Jacob, you won." But Jacob wasn't going to stop there. One more, another one, five or six more. And he says, "Ah." And he helps her get up. They jumped around together. The rest came up and congratulated them. And Tommy gave them both a prize. All of us yearn to be loved, to be needed. So we need to be responsible. And therefore, we will feel worthy of that love. Thus able to recognize real love when it comes. Any teenagers in here? You need to be responsible for that love. And therefore, you will feel worthy of that love. And also able to recognize real love when it comes. Let's quote Albert Schweitzer again. Can you do that?
Through reverence for life, I raise my existence to its highest value and offer it to the world.
You need to risk to love. Raise your existence. And there's sacrifices involved. There's no question about that. I remember when we went down the driveway. It was time to go to Honduras. I lived my whole life on that farm. My brothers went away to higher education, and in some cases, wives, and I was there alone on the farm, working with that soil, struggling. And finally, after I was married to Nana, it started to prosper. And it became a very big business. I had to drive down the driveway. That was all behind. Everything was behind. And I'm going down the driveway. Darren was with us. We met you here. but we had five vehicles going for Honduras. We had to buy a truck. We put all our stuff in the truck. Jim ought to know. He had to fix the brakes on my truck when I got there. And we went to Honduras with my van, the trailer behind, and the truck, Darren's car, Sharon's car, and Tommy's pickup, Toyota pickup, and we went. Albert Einstein, too, left everything. He went. I don't mean to compare myself with them. There's no comparison to this. We all have a calling. And each calling, one is as important as the other. But when you really risk loving with all your heart, you can be hurt. I went back. I thought, I'm going down the driveway about this farm. It was hurting. And then all of a sudden, I said, okay, God. It was a tough farm anyway. Had a long driveway, and the railroad went right through the middle of it. And the sand hills I struggled with through those years. Okay, God, I'm ready. And I went. You have to risk in loving with all your heart. And you can be hurt, but you can find the joy God intended our lives to be filled with. Darren, would you read 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 115?
Second Nephi, chapter 1, verse 115. Second Nephi.
Someone's Second. Doing it for you.
Second Nephi, chapter 1, verse 115. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy.
God intended us to have joy serving one another in love. Okay, I had a picture of a baby there. I'll get these other pictures in a minute. All of us yearn to be loved and to be needed, so we need to be responsible. Who's going to be responsible for this baby? That's the question. That's the number one question. Jacob knows he's loved and he's part of a family. Speaking of joy, every one of these ladies I love with all my heart, as they do me. They're laughing there because they're going to do a special, and they just discovered they're all wearing red. So they're laughing. Can you laugh with them? My wife is right here, Nana. Hi, Nana. Here they are, singing their hearts out to God. And here's the congregation in Zamorano. When I get back, these lovely people will all want to hug me, and they. My children, my Honduras children, if I come on the bus, they'll be down at the bus stop screaming, Daddy, Daddy. Here's another picture of the congregation. Here's Michelle. That's her mom. She's got a mother, and she helps her mother a lot. And she's a good girl. Pushes her mother to church all the time. Oh, there's times she complains, oh, mom. Mother, she called her. But this is her mom. Here's Jacob again. Oh, that's a guy's thing. That's the van. It took us down there. In closing, let's go back to these girls singing. Why not? No, there's the congregation. In closing, I have a few words when considering another and problems they bear, even in error. Pray for them. Care for them. Risk for them. And always give the benefit of the doubt. Always give the benefit of the doubt to another. But for the grace of God, there go I. Thank you.